Thank you, members, for setting up this seminar on certification, on the impacts of certifications. Thank you, Mr. Silva, for inviting us to this seminar. It's a great honor to be here and to be able to represent one of these organizations that are called certification organizations, but most of us really aren't. Who are we? The Rainforest Alliance, as David already said, is a not-for-profit organization that is dedicated to conserve biodiversity and ensure sustainable livelihoods. So what's this certification all about? What has all of this to do with certification? We find that for us, the best way to working towards conserving biodiversity and towards ensuring sustainable livelihoods is by helping transform land use practices, business practices, and consumer behavior. When you realize, and most of you will know this, that more than two-thirds, up to 80% of deforestation in the world is due to agriculture, you begin to see the link. You begin to see the link that we have made between biodiversity and changing land use practices. And we found, working with local NGOs, with local farmers, and in agriculture, that indeed, if you work in a more sustainable way, a lot of this better land use practices can help biodiversity, and by the way, also help reduce the amount of CO2 that's going in the air, but that's a climate issue, that's a separate issue. Changing land use practices and changing business practices, because from many, many years in development activities, and most of you have had the benefit of having a lot of these development activities come to, you know, either come or bring to the various countries, you know that just changing the way farmers do things doesn't help if that's not taken up by the market. So you need the entire value chain to be working with that. That's why we concentrate mostly on land use practices, but also on transforming business practices, and lastly on impacting consumer behaviors. Consumers have changed attitudes towards what they eat and drink. A seal, like our little frog, can help them actually change their behavior, can help them with their pocketbook vote for more sustainable agriculture. When farmers work according to the Rainforest Standard, the Rainforest Alliance Standard, which is actually a standard of the Sustainable Agriculture Network, and I'm glad, Nanya, you talked about bringing all this much more to the origin. The Sustainable Agriculture Network is a network of a dozen not-for-profit organizations, of which one is in the north, and all the others are in the countries of origin. So this standard has come into being as a multi-stakeholder standard with vast, great input from producers in the producing countries. And that's very important to make it workable and make it worthwhile for, obviously, for farmers to be there. It's also a standard, like most of the others, that gets adapted on a biannual basis to the new learnings that we have. So it's not something that's written in stone once and for all, but all the learnings that come out of such things as we learn from these COSA reports do go in there. So if farmers work that way, what do they do? How is this different? And sometimes it's not that much different, because there are many farmers who already work this way. They protect wildlife. Farmers preserve forests. That means either by preserving existing forests or by planting, in the case of coffee, under trees. Coffee under shade is a wonderful area for biodiversity. It's almost as good as natural forest when it comes to the number of species that you find in a coffee farm under shade. Farmers conserve water and are responsible stewards of the wildlife. Farmers also increase crop yield. We've heard about that. They improve production and quality. And workers enjoy better housing. They enjoy much better working conditions. Kids go to school more often. And there are medical facilities that allow people to be sick less often. Now, certification is not a magical bullet that, you know, you put a frog on and suddenly all of this happens. It cannot work that way. Farmers have to work hard together with trainers and other people to get to this point where they are working in a more sustainable manner, where they can sell their coffee with a frog on the bag or with other kinds of certificates on the bag. And so it's not just a matter of going in there, certifying farms and getting some money in return. It's really a matter of a lot of hard work, and it's a matter that involves the entire value chain. If you go from transforming production towards consumption, the involvement of the Rainforest Alliance is at pretty much every step of the way in this value chain. Most importantly, as I said, with training and support for farmers. Without that, nothing happens. Without that, there is no certification. When that then leads to demonstrably more sustainable practices, then you get to the auditing, the certification, the verification. In the chain of custody, there is traceability, so people who buy this coffee know that they bought the coffee that was produced in such a way. There is corporate engagement, and there is, in the consuming countries, marketing support and brand awareness built up with consumers. If you, just as a sideline, if you're interested, Google follow the frog. You'll see what we mean by building brand awareness. And that goes all the way along the entire value chain in order to make not just more sustainable coffee, but make a market for that coffee and make consumers aware of that coffee so that this can grow and keep on working. Now, a small NGO like ours doesn't do all this by itself. There is an enormous drive behind this. Giovanni talked about it already, with global commitments from various large and small coffee roasters and retailers around the world. What has happened in the markets? These scales are from about 2003 to 2011. So it started with almost nothing. Rainforest certified coffee volume is now about 3.3% of total exports. Cocoa is at 2.7, and tea in 11 was about 10%. Bananas have been around a little bit longer, certified bananas, and because they are very much in single hands and single brands, they, once you got one, you got a whole big group. So 15% of that, Chiquita essentially, is Rainforest Alliance certified. In 2011, we produced, or not we didn't produce anything. We don't produce coffee. But the Rainforest certified farmers produced 260,000 metric tons, which was an increase of 19% over the year before. And we now work with farmers in all major production countries and with roasters from all continents. I want to put this in a little bit of different perspective. The tropical coffee, commodity coalition. It used to be the coffee coalition, and since we are in the coffee environment here, puts out an assessment every year of how far we've come. And as you see, their report of 2012, so the year 2011, they fined about 9% of the world's coffee exports as sustainably produced, which would be everything including the Rainforest Alliance, Fairtrade, UTZ4C, but also Cafe Practices and Nespresso AAA. All of that together was then about 9%, compared to about 16% sustainably produced. Now, whereas the coffee sold is relatively easy to measure because it's all mostly traceable, so you can tell how much was sold. As you know, in production, there are many farms that are certified by more than one organization. And you can make some estimates about how much double there is. But likely there is less than the actual 16%, because likely there is more double and triple certification than is really, really known. And of course, it makes sense that there is more production than is being sold, because as yet the certification does not take place exactly in the countries that roasters want to get their coffee from. So there's a bit of a discontinuity there, and that's why there's a bit more produced than is actually consumed. But as you've seen, it's growing fast, and publicly stated roaster ambitions are quite high. From our trading friends at Ecom, we have these data about what's actually been demanded in 2010 by the companies you see here, and their publicly stated ambitions for 2015, which is not very far off as we speak. That coffee is not exactly on the tree yet, but almost. And so there is quite a lot of room there for more sustainably certified coffee. Or put it another way, traders see demand growing from about 8 million bags in 2010 to about 28 million bags in 2015. Who has that coffee? I think we'll have our work cut out for us to find all that coffee that is being seen as demanded in 2015. So there appears to be a market. There appears to be quite a big market. But what about the farmers? Does this do any good for the farmers? Can farmers live with this? Can farmers be interested? Should farmers be interested in getting involved in certification? The next few slides are from a Sustainable Agriculture Network study in 5 countries, in Brazil, Colombia, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Peru. In each country, in 3 growing areas. And what this slide compares is it tries to make a first cut at costs and economic benefits. And what you see is that there is quite a range, as we already heard, of costs and benefits here. The cost per hectare ranges from about $6 to about $113 per hectare. And what I've done is I've put typical values. You could also say median values behind there. So not necessarily the average, because the average can be pulled very strongly one way or another by one outlier. So typically it costs about $40 a hectare, or 2 cents a kilo, but there are huge differences. And the differences come, in the first place, from scale effects. If you have large farms, many hectares, the cost of certification are significantly lower per hectare and per kilo than for very small farms. Also, it has a lot to do with what was already there. A farm that's basically working according to some standard beforehand doesn't need to invest very much. And so those costs then become relatively small. A farm that has not been doing that and needs to, for instance, put up worker housing, which is generally one of the very high cost items, can have very significant cost per kilo. Also, and this is where we're learning also internally, our standard has strong requirements for clean water. Water cleaning and making sure that the water that comes off your farm is at least as clean and preferably cleaner than the water that comes onto your farm. That can be done in many technically interesting ways, expensive ones and not so expensive ones. So there's a lot of learning there that needs to be done. The economic benefit I put on this chart is simply the premium times the percent of the coffee that was sold by a particular farm as certified. Not all of it is sold as certified, as we've seen, minus the cost per kilo. So no accounting for yield and productivity increases in this study. And the net benefit ranges from an actual negative, as we saw in the previous to a positive of 15 cents per kilo, with a typical amount of about 11 cents per kilo. And again here, there was one of the 16 communities that were looked at that was negative. This was a community of very small farms that actually didn't have very high investments, but because they were so small and had such low yield, their cost per kilo actually went negative because of the cost of certification. So there we really need to learn how to do it better. On the whole, somewhat medium, small farmers that got together as cooperatives, small farmers that got in alliances, medium and large size farms all appear to have an economic benefit, at least in these areas of Central and South America. What do the farmers themselves say about all this? These are answers farmers gave us spontaneously. So we don't ask, so what did you get better markets? But these were answers about, yeah, we had better access to market and so on. And here we see, looking from the bottom up, about 40% mentioned increased productivity, most mentioned better prices, better access to market, and quite a number had reduced their agrochemical use because they were better able to keep their plants healthy in non-chemical ways. And what they all, most very large number of people had much greater efficiency. They were, these farms, you can tell, you all have been there, you can tell a certified farm. It's organized, they know where things are, the pesticides are not next to the food, but far away from each other. All those sorts of things make farms really hum. And you can tell that when you go there. You have all seen that, and that's what these farmers play back in terms of economic, also in terms of social impact, better health for larger farms, because it's easier to employ workers. Workers go where the food is good and the housing is clean. And workers return if they've been where the food is good and the housing is clean. They have better access to education, greater organization, and something that's a bit ephemeral but very important. The recognition as producer, the recognition as a business person who runs their shop in a proper way. That's something that whenever I go to farms that have been certified, I come across men and women who really are much prouder. In terms of environmental impact, they are more committed to taking care. They have seen more animals on the farm, more trees, and of course much better soil as a result of all this. I will skip the next example in El Salvador. It says pretty much the same thing. I do want to point your attention to this one. Coffee, as Giovanni said, was a leader, was a leader. From 2008 to the present, it has grown. Yeah, it was the first up there in 2008. Now, cocoa and tea are moving very much faster. Given the amount of demand out there, that should really be a signal that we should all work together on making more of this happen and making helping farmers understand for whom and where the benefits are. Demand is growing strong. Most, but not all, farmers profit from sustainable certification in social, environmental, and economic terms. And one thing that is clear to us is economic sustainability requires sufficient productivity and quality. With very low productivity, farmers cannot profit, and we certainly do not want to certify poverty in any sort of way. So that's an area that really needs fundamental work for these farmers. Our training and organizational development that comes in the countries, we think will do a lot. Thank you very much.